In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the ninth month, the 21st day of the year 2025. And it's the 15th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's the feast day of the great St. Matthew.
Pray for us.
The title of this lecture is the Hollow Hoax Protest. Now, this is a big event that we were planning for a long time, and we finally had a chance to get to do it. And we actually had the protest on the fourth weekday on 9/17/2025. And what I wanted to do, and I tell them, Brother Will, I'm going to show you in a minute the posters we made up for our protest, and we protest on the triangle and Truth of Consequences, New Mexico, and where all the cars are going and coming. That's our protest place where we do our protest. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to get the Holocaust briefs completed before we actually went out and did the protest, because these briefs are like short clips on each topic. Because sometimes if you give people a whole hour, 2 hour thing, it scares them. They don't want to look at the whole thing. So I pulled it out of a lot of it. I mean, later on they can then go look at the bigger video. So I got right now, when I posted up the 12th clip. Go to my St. John the Baptist website and click on the conspiracies and go to the Holocaust. And right at the beginning, you'll see here, Holocaust briefs. There's 12 of them up, 12 up there now, and there's going to be more. And I am going to post more, but I had 12 already completed, and I'm going to post up some more eventually. But that's enough. So okay, we got 12 clips up there. Let's get on the horn with this Holocaust thing, and we're going to go out there. Now, I have to mention, that is the number one topic in the whole wide world that the devil protects, is the Holocaust lie. The Holocaust lie is brought the Jews to power spiritually and financially. They already had money, so they didn't necessarily need the Holocaust to get money. But it gave them some extra bonus money, so they're always looking for money. But the main thing the Holocaust did, and what it does, this lie, it justifies Christ denying Jews, all Jews, simply because they're Jews. You're no longer allowed to criticize a Jew, or they say, we're going to go back and we're going to have another Holocaust. And they dragged the whole Catholic Church into this. They say the Catholic Church over history has been notorious for condemning Christ, denying Jews, which leads to violence against the Jews. So therefore, we're not going to talk against the Jews anymore, or criticize them, or call them Christ, denying Jews, or call them sons of the devil, or call them antichrists, which is clearly in the gospel, which is what the true Catholic Church teaches. And they go, we're not going to do that no more. Because any time that happens, it leads to us killing the Jews. Well, I'll tell you a couple lies about that, first of all. Just because we say that to the Jew doesn't mean we just go out and kill them. When the Catholic Church killed Jews, they deserved it. They were causing trouble in the Catholic community. They were subverting the Catholic government. They were creating all kinds of trouble in the Catholic state. And so that for the Jews that were doing that, they would be killed with the death penalty. Other Jews, most of the time, they were just cast out of the Catholic land and said, go somewhere else. We don't want you. You're corrupting our community. And we're not talking about just corrupting the community by the lies about Christ. Against the natural law, they are perverts. They are immoral. They were corrupt. They are a corruptive influence against the natural law. The Jews, that's why the Jews have been kicked out of almost every country. Even Muslim, non-Catholic countries, they're kicked out. They have propensity to, when they denied Christ, they became so perverse. They became so evil. They're like the most evil people in the world when he denied Christ. I'm not making excuses for Gentiles neither. They're evil too. Freemasons are evil. They serve the Jews. So what the Jew wanted to do was say, we got to have people back off from criticizing us, because when we come to power, if they criticize us and point out how evil we were doing, they're going to stop us again. They're going to kill us again. They're going to kick us out of countries again. Enter the Holocaust. And say, use that Holocaust lie to see, this is what ends up when you end up criticizing Jews and anti-Semitism. You're talking about how evil the Jews are. You're going to exterminate the whole races, what Hitler did during World War II, and we don't want that to happen again anymore. So therefore, we don't criticize a Jew, no matter what he does, no matter how evil he is. He's simply, because he's a Jew, we don't criticize him. He can commit any crime he wants, any type of immorality, blaspheme Jesus Christ, and you can't criticize him, you can't condemn him, and you can't punish him. So the Holocaust presents the Jewish race as the Messiah, the new Redeemer. It placed the ultimate Holocaust of Christ when he died on the cross to redeem men. That's the true Holocaust, that redeemed men. He's the Messiah. Now we got the whole Jewish race as a Messiah, Redeemers, Saviors. You can't talk about them. You can't touch them. They're bringing salvation to the world. So this Holocaust thing, I didn't want to go off too much. I can talk about it in other lectures. Is a really gigantically big thing. It gave them spiritual justification in their Christ denying apostasy to make them look like good guys and to back people off from criticizing them, and then follow that up with the Nostra Aetate in the Second Vatican Council, paragraph 3 or 4. That came out and said, because of all, and this has been, they've been working in, before Vatican II, they've been in the church for a long time working on this thing, with their stupid anti-Semitism, backing people off on condemning them. So we finally get to the point in Nostra Aetate, paragraph 4, that comes out and says, no Jew in the world should be looked upon as if he's cursed, as if it flows from Holy Scriptures. I'm quoting from the apostate Second Vatican Council, the section titled Nostra Aetate, paragraph 4. Although the church is the new people of God, the Jews should not be presented as rejected or accursed by God, as if this follows from the Holy Scriptures. No Jew. If that's not racism, then I don't know what it is. Remember St. John the Baptist, the Jew thought he was so righteous just because he was a Jew? And what did John the Baptist say to that Jew? Don't think just because you're a Jew, God's going to save you. It's your faith that makes you a chosen person of God, not your race. God can turn that rock into a Jew. I'm quoting from Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. St. John the Baptist says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I tell you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. So Nostra Aetate is telling us that no Jew's under a curse. Nobody can say that, as if it flows from Holy Scripture. Now, I didn't want to talk a lot about this, so I do want to give you a brief thing on it. I mean, so no one's allowed to condemn him. No one's allowed to, no Jew, not one Jew, no matter what he did. And you got to sit back and say, what Bible are these guys reading? We're talking even the Old Testament. Even the notoriously the Jews that are there in Brooklyn, they know that you're evil Jews. They're not as bad as the other Jews. They read their own Bible. You guys just read the Old Testament. How many times are the Jews going bad? I always quote this verse in Judges 4:1. And the Jews again did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's Judges 4:1. Judges 6:1. And the Jews again did evil in the sight of the Lord. How many times did God kill immoral or faithless Jews and cast them out and kill them? But Nostra Aetate says no Jew is under a curse, as if the Holy Bible says they're under a curse. What's it Jesus saying in John 8:45? To the Jews that didn't believe in him.
I'm quoting from John chapter 8, verses 42 to 44. Jesus therefore said to them, the Jews that denied he was the Messiah, if God were your Father, you would indeed love me. For from God I proceeded and came, for I came not of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he stood not in the truth, because truth is not in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof.
John 5:45, he tells the Jews that don't believe in him, he says, your sons are the devil. He says, your father is the devil, and he's a liar and a liar from the beginning. And in 1 John 2:22-23, St. John says, who is a liar? That he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist. How's that for a curse?
I'm reading from John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth in the Son hath life everlasting. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Okay, so all those verses have to be gone now, according to Nostra Aetate, paragraph 4. So the Vatican II Church put the icing on the cake with Zionism, Christian Zionism. That's the last. You see, your earlier Christian Zionists, they idolized the apostate Jews, called them God's chosen people, but they still said you got to believe in Jesus, which is weird. How can you be God's chosen people? How could you be pleasing to God? How could you be under a covenant with God if you don't believe in Christ and you're faithless and you got to believe in Jesus? It's this contradiction. But Vatican II came along and says, no, they don't have to believe in Christ. No, they're holy just where they are. They don't need to, they can deny Christ till kingdom come, and they're under a covenant with God, they're pleasing to God, and they're God's chosen people.
I'm quoting from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Here's what St. Paul says about Christ denying Jews. For you, brethren, are, and he's talking to the Christians now, the Catholics. For you, brethren, are become followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered the same things from your own countrymen, even as they have from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets, and have persecuted us and please not God, and are the adversaries to all men.
Okay, so now, the Holocaust is the crux of this whole thing that put them up on a pedestal so that if anybody tries to criticize a Jew for anything, they always revert back to the Holocaust. Uh-oh! There we go again. That's what the dirty Nazis did. A little joke. How did the Nazis tie their shoes? The Germans. And little Nazis. Anyway. You hear a Nazi all the time, right? But this lie, once you blow the lid off of this lie, everything starts to crumble. They're behind all the major lies that you have seen in the world down till today. Hitler. They lied about Hitler on many things. He did a lot of good things. He did some bad things. I go, look at my article, the good and bad things he did.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website, click on the politics menu, then go to Hitler's Germany, and it's the first article you're going to see up there, a list of the good and bad things Hitler believed in and did.
He did a lot of good things. They hate him for the good things that he did. How do they lie? They say, oh, Hitler said, when you tell a big lie, I like to tell big lies, you know. Complete opposite. He hated lying. He said, the Jews tell big lies. He says, most people tell small lies and they're afraid to tell big lies. But these people, they tell big, massive lies and no one can believe they can lie this way. He goes, and who are these lying virtuosis? They're the Jews.
I'm quoting from Hitler's books, Mein Kampf, from 1924. The Jews proceeded on the sound principle that the magnitude of a lie always contains a certain factor of credibility, since the great masses of people in their very bottom of their hearts tend to be corrupted rather than be consciously and purposely evil. Therefore, because of the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more easily fall victim to a big lie than to a little one, since they themselves lie in little things, but would be ashamed of lies that were too big. Such a falsehood will never enter into their heads, and they will not be able to believe in the possibility of such monstrous effrontery and infamous misrepresentation in others. Yes, even when enlightened on the subject, they will long doubt and waver and continue to accept at least one of these causes as true. Therefore, something of even the most insolent lie will always remain and stick, a fact which all the great lie virtuosi and lying clubs in this world know only too well, and also make the most treacherous use of it. The foremost connoisseurs of this truth regarding the possibilities of the use of falsehood and slander have always been the Jews.
He called them the big liar. He wasn't the big liar. They lied about that. And look how they lie about the 9/11, the towers going down, the Iran with the weapons of mass destruction, about what's going on in Gaza today. They're not starving when clearly they're starving. They're not committing a genocide when they're committing a genocide.
As the humanitarian crisis in Gaza deepens by the day, images like this illustrate the growing desperation for hungry Palestinians. The health ministry there says dozens have died from starvation and malnutrition just this week. And though ceasefire talks are ongoing, there's no end in sight for the people of Gaza. More now from CNN's Jeremy Diamond, and a warning. You may find the images in his report disturbing.
There are no bullet holes or shrapnel wounds marking this man's body. His bears the signs of a far more silent killer, starvation. At 41 years old, Mohammed Al-Hassanat is one of at least 45 Palestinians who have died of malnutrition in just the last week, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. An entirely man-made humanitarian crisis in Gaza now reaching unprecedented levels. The question now is not whether starvation will claim more lives, but who will be its next victim. Most food stocks have run dry. Malnutrition cases are skyrocketing, and there is only so much Gaza's under-resourced hospitals can do. At one of the few soup kitchens still serving meals, the growing desperation of Gaza's population of more than 2 million is clear as day. 28 Western nations, more than 100 humanitarian aid organizations, and top UN officials have all said Israeli policies are to blame for the starvation crisis now unfolding. That's because Israel imposed a total siege of Gaza between March and May. And since then, Israeli restrictions on the entry and distribution of aid have snowballed into an utterly avoidable disaster.
I don't know what you would call it other than mass starvation. And it's man-made. And that's very clear.
وزن الواحد فيهم 2 كيلو بسبب سوء التغذية الحاد. المفروض يعني 8 شهور المفروض يكون وزن الواحد فيهم 8 كيلو. ما بيرضعوش لأنه فيش حليب، مش في الحليب، فيش أكل. يعني إذا بده يرضع بده أكل، ما فيش لا في أكل ولا شرب. حتى هناك ما فيش غير الحماد، الخبازة والحماد. بيادول بيكلش لا حماد ولا خبازة، وخبز ما فيش، بسكوت ما فيش. الواحد بده يعملهم بسكوت، يفتلوا بسكوت، ما فيش بسكوت، ما فيش حاجة. عاشوا فترة الحرب كلها، يعني بدل ما يعيشوا فترة أمان كل ليلة كانوا يعيشوا بقصف وخوف وجوع. وجينا هنا على الجنوب على أمل إن شاء الله ربنا هيك يفتح علينا، يواسعها علينا، نقدر ننقذ هالأطفال.
There is no starvation in Gaza, no policy of starvation in Gaza.
These apostate Jews are the biggest liars that ever lived in the history of the world. That's one of the curses that came down upon them for denying Jesus Christ. And they lied about the Holocaust. And my thing is, if you chop down this Holocaust thing, is so bad, people are so brainwashed with it, it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's in all your books. They're taught in school. So you can say, you can pardon a kid maybe who doesn't know any better. He grew up believing this. Okay? But then when the truth comes after to these kids, like we're preaching, the kids should sit back and say, wow, we've been lied to. My point is, what's allowing people to break this curse? Why they're beginning to listen to us? Because they're looking at how the Christ-denying Israelite Jews, the apostate Israelites in Israel, what they're doing in Gaza, and they're lying about it. I don't care. Look, if you wanted to go out and say, God told us to kill men, women, and children, and take over greater Israel, okay, you're being honest about it. It's biblical, because that's what a lot of them do believe. But they're saying, no, we're not doing that. We don't want to get rid of them. We don't want to genocide them. We don't want to kill them. We don't want to starve them. We're not starving them. They're lying about it. And then they're telling you that they're not doing it, and we're looking at it on TV, and they're saying, no, these kids aren't starving. So people are, this genocide thing really is a blessing in disguise for people getting to look at these Jews and to look at their nature and say, wow, this is unbelievable. One Chinese guy from China really nailed this one Jew, this Israelite, because he always said, Hamas is hiding behind everybody they killed. There's a Hamas guy hiding behind. They killed like 60,000 Palestinians, children, men, women, and all, and Hamas is behind every one of them. There's two arguments on that, and the Chinese guy said, wait a second. If a bank robber goes into a bank, and he robs a bank, and he takes as a hostage the tellers and the people that are in the bank, and he grabs them and hides behind them, what do? You kill the people? And they retaliate. Yeah, he goes, we always do the best to try to save the people. No, what do? You kill the people? That's what you're telling me. He says, the whole world knows you're lying. They can, with this Hamas thing.
The real reason of this war is that this is the terror organization Hamas that's still holding our hostages. So they replace the UN, you suggest, is sound very smart between countries. What we need to do about the terror organization?
My answer is very clear.
Yeah.
Your military people should shoot the terrorists.
The terrorists?
Not the children. Not the women. We shoot the children and the women. and you lot of legitimacy to carry out any actions in that region. For instance, and when you get, when we have the robbers getting the bank, they rob the bank, they use the staff and the customer as a human shield. You're a policeman. If you do not kill the staff, bank staff, and the customer, you cannot catch the robbers. How can you do it? Do you think you should kill the customer and the staff first?
We really do all what we can not to hurt the citizens.
To kill more than 70,000 civilians.
There are more than the terrorists. It's not fact, right?
Okay.
Really?
The fact is not decided by you. The facts decided by the international community. It's not decided by your government. Your government have no legitimacy and the right to decide or defend what is fact.
Okay. The terror attack, the terror organization, what is the solution in your way of...
My solution is that go to the UN, work with the UN, and agree the two-state solution to establish a state of a Palestinian. Then you have two states, and you can work together with the Palestinians together to fight against terrorists. If you do not work with the Palestinians together, you can never win the war over terrorists.
But this specific war will end when the terror organization will release all our hostages and will give up his weapon, because we can't stop the war as long as we have the hostages.
No. This kind of a propaganda have too many. No one believe it.
Too many what?
Too many. Too much. No one believe it. Except a few Israelis.
We have an American military guy working for a private company that was over there, and he says, I was over there for like a month with this, where they were supposed to be feeding them. He says he ran into one Hamas, didn't see one. Not one gunshot fired from a Hamas. He saw what the hell they were starving the people, how they were keeping the food from them.
This is from Jason Aguilar, who is a former U.S. Green Beret.
So the reason for me wanting to come forward and share this story is apolitical. The distribution method, the delivery of aid, is not being done in line with American values.
20 Palestinians were killed
while trying to get to food aid distribution sites.
My name is Tony Aguilar. I'm a retired Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret from service in the United States Army. I served for a career of 25 years. I've deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, in combat operations and numerous other operational deployments. So I spent a considerable amount of time in Gaza during my 45 days in Israel. I was under a contract by UG Solutions, which is the security apparatus under the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. I felt it was a noble cause. I felt it was a good mission to feed the people of Gaza. So I did sign up and go on the contract. The IDF gave us, SRS, UG, they gave us our marching orders. They told us which sites we would deliver from, when we would deliver, how much aid we would deliver, how much time we would stay on the site to deliver, what type of aid we would deliver. The IDF controlled and directed every aspect of the delivery of aid. From the very first day, distribution at Site 1 has been chaotic, pandemonium. The best way that I can describe how the Palestinians reach the site to receive aid is akin to the Hunger Games, survival of the fittest. Whomever can run the fastest and the furthest to get to the site first gets the aid. So those that are typically left with receiving no aid, no food, no type of aid are children, women, disabled. The sites themselves, in terms of the process for having the Palestinians leave the distribution site, was done through shooting at them, hitting them with pepper spray and tear gas, firing rubber bullets from shotguns at them. And this isn't something that happened just once or twice. This happened every day at every distribution, at every site. This is not hyperbole. This is not Hamas propaganda. This is not Gaza Ministry of Health saying it. It's me. I've seen it. The contractors on one occasion, on the 29th of May at site number 4, opened fire with his individually assigned weapon into the crowd, at their feet, over their heads, and into the crowd. As he did this, he celebrated what he was doing and he yelled, "Woohoo!" Then another contractor who was standing next to me said, "I think you got one." The contractor that was shooting then replied, "Hell yeah, boy." I took the video. I was there. I saw it. I watched it happen. The contractor that said, "Damn, I think you got one, man," was referring to a Palestinian man that fell to the ground and never got up. It's within my assessment that he was dead. And another incident on the 2nd of June at distribution site number 1, which is in the south in Rafah, I witnessed a UG contractor throw a stun grenade into the crowd. The metal fuse top of the stun grenade hit a Palestinian woman in the head, and she immediately dropped to the ground, lifeless and motionless. A donkey cart was brought onto the site to load her onto the donkey cart to remove her from the site at the direction of the SRS operational leadership. She was dead. This happened on the site. On the 28th of May, we submitted a report to the leadership of UGS and Safe Reach Solutions that site number 3 in particular was dangerous and that people would die if changes were not made. Those changes were not made. And on the 16th of July, 20 people died.
20 Palestinians were killed Wednesday morning at its food distribution site in Khan Yunis.
Palestinians, human beings, trampled to death on a site that we could have prevented. Those deaths are on us as Americans. We're complicit in that. In the dozens of distributions that I was a part of at every site, not one time ever did I feel a threat, assess a threat, see a threat, never saw a weapon, never saw a gun. The fire, the actual small arms fire that we received on the locations at times, came from the IDF in our location. The entire city of Rafah has been razed to the ground, so there is no civilian population around the sites. They have to travel 8 to 12 kilometers one way, on foot, no vehicles. Most of them don't have shoes, poorly clothed. They haven't eaten, they're starving. There is no water that's distributed in the humanitarian aid. And to get there, they have to walk through an active war zone. On two occasions, I bore witness to a Palestinian man in one instance and a Palestinian woman in a second instance that were carrying their dead children. And these children didn't die from gunshot wounds or from sickness or disease. They died of starvation. I've seen it with my own eyes. I witnessed it on the ground in Gaza. Americans don't set up food to a starving population and have them walk through a war zone just to then shoot at them and hit them with stun grenades and pepper spray and then send them on their way. That's not the American way. That isn't in line with American values. After 25 years of service, when I hung up my uniform, I didn't hang up my oath. And my oath is to the Constitution and to the values of this country. Not to a president, not to a Congress, not to a company, but to this country. And I think most Americans would agree with that. The distribution itself is not feeding the population of Gaza. In fact, we are starving them because we are providing them with so little. The mechanism in place right now does not work. It is my job to make sure that the American people know this, because our tax dollars are going to this. Your tax dollars, U.S. taxpayers, are funding this. When I was hired on the 14th of May, signed my contract, that was supposed to run through the 21st of August. On the 14th of June, at that point, I had witnessed indiscriminate shooting, inappropriate use of force, dereliction from the leadership. I brought each circumstance to the leadership with a recommendation and solution on how we could address this. I was committed to seeing this succeed. When the leadership ignored it, that was my red line that crossed my moral threshold of what I could put up with. And I left. I terminated my contract and I came home.
So my point is, I don't want to get into the whole thing on that, but you can see the lie, how they're lying. The world sees it. They're now calling it a genocide, and it's allowing them to listen to what we're saying. And we got an open door right now in the Holocaust, folks. People are beginning to listen because they're going, wait a second, if they're going to lie about this, these people are pretty bad. And they always bring the Holocaust up when this is happening. They called October 7th another Holocaust. 2,000 people died. Well, that's pretty accurate then, maybe. You call it another. If 6 million people died, and 2,000 on October 7th, I mean, you're comparing it to the Holocaust. They're always shooting their lip off on the Holocaust. October 7th was set up by the Jew. He allowed it to happen so he can have this pretext to go in there and bomb the shit out of him and take over greater Israel. Look, I have more respect for the Hilltop people and the zealous apostate Jews that come right out and tell you, it's our land. They got to get out of here or we're going to kill them. Fine, okay. Then I use the argument, at least they're being honest, they have no religious right to the land. God does not want you to have this land. The Antichrist is going to have this land. You're an abomination of desolation, a place where you don't belong. It's prophesied in the final days that this is what's going to happen.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website, click on the conspiracies and apostate Judaism and Zionism, and it's the first article you're going to come up called Christ Denying Jews Have No Right to Israel on Religious Grounds. It was also printed in a newspaper, and I also have it just right here as in letter format.
So then we fight on a religious, and at least you're on an honest fighting basis. These people are pretending they want two states. They're pretending they're not committing a genocide. They're pretending they don't want to kill them. They're pretending they don't really want to cast them out and take over the land. But it's right in your face. So this opened up, and we saw an opening, and I said, this is good now, because people are beginning to look at the Jew with a different lens. Before they run, we call it the Hollow Hoax, spell and curse, their anti-Semitism, that's a big thing. They accuse you of anti, even Jews who criticize them are called anti-Semites. So what does your definition mean? They would call themselves hating Jews. It goes back to Nostra Aetate. No Jew should be looked upon as if he's cursed. You can't say anything bad about any Jew. Except for now, us Jews that condemn them. I'm a Catholic Jew. So Finkelstein, he's not Catholic, but he condemns them. And they condemn him as an anti-Semite. So any Jew that comes out and criticizes them, they call him an anti. They use that label. But what I'm saying is this Holocaust thing is the linchpin. It's the linchpin. It's in every book. It's in everything you read. Everything is saturated with the Holocaust lie, just like the heresy of evolution, the heresy of heliocentrism, the heresies about 9/11. Read all the official stories on 9/11. They don't tell you the truth. They ignore Building 7. This is the stuff people are going to school with. And basically, we tell people, you'll see, the big thing is, you mean to tell me that why so-and-so's lying, you're lying? Yeah, they're lying. Yeah, everybody's lying. You've been lied to, like Brother Ryan said, as you'll find out when you hear the video. You've been lied to. Your history's false. Yeah, our history about the United States is false. It idolized the apostate United States and puts them on a pedestal. It's false. History belongs to those who win the battle, and they tell it from their side. So, we saw that the time is right for this Holocaust thing. Now, the first thing we did, and we wanted to do, before the protest, we wanted to go to the local newspaper, the Sentinel, which puts my articles and letters in there, a lot of them, and to the credit, because there's a lot of pretty good stuff that is in that article. So I figured, okay, let's expose the Holocaust on a weekly basis, starting with part one, part two, and the letters to the reader's letters. And so Brother Will sent the reader's letter in on the Holocaust, his first one, and it was not real long, and we're going to keep doing it. So after he put that letter in, the person that runs the Sentinel, the editor, said she never got such blowback in her life. It's like, it was unbelievable. I mean, people were attacking her, they were calling her up, and she says, I can't believe it. I mean, this is something, she doesn't have a concept of how important this is, okay? Because maybe she was never educated in it, she never studied it. She should have had a reason to study it, but her thing was, I can't believe, how could this be so important for something that happened 50 years ago? And we caught that from some other people, too. This happened so long ago, who cares? It happened so long ago, but they never shut up about it. They invoke it down to today. Finkelstein, normal Finkelstein, great. He says every time the Jew wants to go out and commit a crime against somebody, he invokes the Holocaust. Look what they did, the Nazis did to us in Germany, so they take out the club and kill the Palestinians.
Finkelstein lost his job at the university because of what he claims was pressure from the Israeli lobby. Then he was denied entry to Israel because he was, as the authorities described, a security hazard, which being Jewish himself is probably unprecedented. Finkelstein reminds me of the biblical prophets of doom, who were always being pelted with stones for saying things nobody wanted to hear.
One of the major kind of claims I hear from people like the ADL or, you know, other Jewish people is that, like, how come always people picking up on Israel? How come there are so much, you know, injustice, mm-hmm. you know, in other parts of the world and nobody speaks about, you know? Mm-hmm. What is the reason
I
for that?
I think people, listen, I open the radio, I hear nonstop about Sudan. I hear nonstop about Tibet. I hear nonstop about Darfur. I hear a lot. The only place I hear excuses made for is Israel. That's the place where I hear excuses. And we do have to remember, it is the oldest occupation in the world. I mean, 40 years really is enough. It's older than you. It's older than you. The occupation. Doesn't that kind of stun you? The irony is that the Nazi Holocaust has now become the main ideological weapon for launching wars of aggression. Every time you want to launch a war of aggression, drag in the Nazi Holocaust. It's the suffering then used as another pretext or excuse to humiliate, degrade, and torture the Palestinians. That's the problem. The suffering comes as a package. It then comes, here is the suffering, now we blow up your house. Here is the suffering, now we take your land. Here is the suffering, now we drop artillery shells or shoot artillery shells at your villages. It's a package deal with Israel and its American supporters. It's not just suffering. It's suffering which is then wrapped in a club. And the club is then used to break the skulls of the Palestinians. That's the problem.
And that doesn't even make sense because the Palestinians didn't do it. They're actually the ones that are committing the Holocaust, not the Germans. These guys, these apostate Zionist Jews are the ones that are doing the Holocaust. So, she got a lot of blowback from it. And it's the first time. We're going to pin in the next one. She says, I can't continue with this. She made some excuse like, you know, we want to talk on the community. I don't want to go on with this because she got attacked really big time. So she refused to put in any more of our letters on the Holo hoax. And she said, you know, we deal with the community. And she made some excuse. But a lot of letters in there have nothing to do with community, especially ones I posted. So she got a lot of heat. So I said, okay, all right. I said, can we put an ad in? So we made an ad. And Brother Will, was your picture in there too? I think we had your, was it not? No, we didn't have your picture. But so we put an ad in, and she said, okay, you can put an ad in, because it's not coming from, I'm not putting it in there. She said, the Holocaust is a hoax, and we showed them where to go. Well, when that went up, she said she got it even worse. And the ADL contacted her from Denver, from Colorado. Got a letter from the ADL, threatened her, no doubt that they were going to bring it across. She said that, right? And, you know, I got angry a little bit at her for doing that, but then I said, look, I understand the pressure you're under. They do have the power to put her out of business. They do. They would. They would bring you to court, and even if you don't win, you win, you're going to have to go to court for years. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And that's how they put people out of business. They threatened her newspaper. How dare you put this in here? And that, what happened was, I said, you now have to, they told her, in order for us to lay off of you, you have to put an article in the Holocaust was not a hoax and send them to the ADL website. So that's what she had to do to make reparation. So my point was, I don't even care if you want to do that, but then let's have the argument about it. But what did he say in that article? It's really stupid too, that article they put up.
Oh, their ad or whatever?
Yeah, they didn't give reasons or anything.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. It was really good. They just said the Holocaust is not a hoax. Go to the ADL's webpage. She had to do that to make reparation to these Jews. I wrote her back and said, she said, well, I guess I caved in on this. I said, well, I Look, I understand somewhat because you're afraid of being sued, but you're the first one to feel the effects of the of Donald Trump's law, the anti-Semitism law that he signed into effect. It's not full force of law, but it's got this type of moral force. It's going to have full force of law pretty soon. And it says anybody who denies or doubts the Holocaust is an anti-Semite, and it's hate speech, and you can go to jail for it. And they also said anybody who says that the Jews killed Christ is going to go to jail, and that's hate, and that's anti-Semitism. Trump signed that law.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website and click on the politics menu. Click on the United States of America menu. Go down to where it says Trump is a savior for Christ denying Jews. And the first section on it is titled Against the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act that Trump signed into law. Click onto that. Then you're going to come to the document there and you click onto that. And there's the document.
So I told her, I said, you're feeling the effects of this anti-Semitism thing, and they got you. I don't want to pursue touch, but I said, she did cave in. It's just like, because she always talks about the truth. It's really weird, too, because she puts in a lot of my articles that are pretty good, tough. But this one, the Holocaust, it got her. She backed off. And I tell her brother somebody, when we were putting the Holocaust stuff up on YouTube years ago, forget about it. It's gone. It's a miracle we can put it on Facebook and Twitter. That's or X. It's a miracle. That is a miracle. So that's a positive sign. We saw that. That people are beginning to say, the spell's being broken. So when that happened, we determined, we're going to do our protest. We're going to do one anyway, but let's expedite it. We're going to go into the triangle, and I'm going to protest it. All right? So this is what's leading to the protest we just did. This past week, and Sister Kat and Brother Will were working on the signs. I'm going to show you a picture of the signs over here right now. Now, the protest is on what they call a triangle in Truth or Consequences in New Mexico, where cars go both ways. Everyone's got to go their way in and out, and so it's a beautiful, excellent place for protest. And we were protesting from 11:30 to 1:30. And before we protested too, and I said to this to Will, and this is what I really believed was going to happen, because we were saying, what kind of response do you think we're going to get? So I said, the way people are, you're only going to get one or two thumbs ups or beeps, because even though a lot of the people that are going to pass by us will agree with us, they're going to be afraid. Because there's a big fear. There's a fear upon people to talk against Jews, especially the Holocaust. So I thought, because this is the way it was years ago. That's short, now you're going to learn how the spell's been broken. This is a miracle that took place during this protest. A miracle. And as I'm going to explain it in a second. So our prediction, and by all means, is we'll get maybe one or two people, thumbs up and a beep. We're going to get probably quite a few people yelling at us. So I figure we're going to get a lot of yelling. People are going to yell at us. They're going to go against us. And maybe one or two people approve it. And I said, fine, because I don't care. A lot of people are going to agree with it, but they're not going to be because they're scared. But fine. The sign's there. They'll go and look. And we can, even the people that disagree, you can get them to look, and you're still witnessing to this thing, which is so very important to break this spell. The mere fact that we're out there alone got the devil so furious, and I'm going to tell you, this is the number one thing the devil defends. When you go against the Holocaust, every devil in hell, every damn human, every apostate Jew, every Freemason comes after you in the whole world. Everyone. I don't want to get into it now about the power the devil has if God's not protecting you, but this is the hot button issue that really gets this guy going. So the mere fact that I lived long enough and we're able to get out there and do this is a major victory. It cannot be seen on this earth. It's a spiritual victory you can't see, but it has to do with souls, grace, God breaking the curse and the spell, and the devil knows that. Just us being out there. So I didn't even care who approved of it, who didn't approve of it. I'm going out there. Just the fact that we're out there. So we're out there protesting. They were out there for the 11:30 to 1:30. I was out there from 12:30 to 1:30, the last hour. But when I went out there, their brothers are saying, hey, we're getting like a lot of beeps and thumbs up, like 70% beeps and thumbs up. I thought he was lying to me. Like, I said, Phil, but he doesn't lie.
No, I couldn't believe it. I was in shock, too.
He said 70% of the people are giving thumbs up and peeps. Then I went over to where brother Alex and sister Kat were, because they were on the one side. These guys were on the other side. And she's counting the cars. And she said, we're getting a lot of thumbs up and beeps. And she was counting them. And the final count was 101, right? 101 approvals on their side. So I said, they're telling the truth. I'm glad you were counting it, too. Because maybe I figured, I know you don't lie, but maybe you were a little deluded. Because I said 70% of the people were giving us a thumbs up. I'm telling you, just about 3 or 4 years ago, it would be the opposite. They would be so scared. They wouldn't say anything. This is like, I couldn't believe it. It's a miracle, okay? So what we're saying here, 70% of the people in this small town or approved of our protests and know the Holocaust is bullshit, and they're sick and tired of hearing about it. But what does this also tell you? This is a macrocosm of the microcosm of the macrocosm. You like big words? Tyrus sees a microcosm of the United States, of the West. So if this is happening in TRC, that means in a lot of your other cities in the USA, you've got other people that don't believe it's bullshit. And you go, well, how come we don't hear their voice? The silent majority. This is what proves, and I said this many times, your conservatives and your righties that are conservative on natural law, they do have a lot of truth. They don't like to protest. They don't like to go out and make a stink. They're working. They're about their business. The lefties, the Antifa, lefty liberals, they are vocal. They are violent. They are unjust. They are. They don't want to listen to truth. But they're vocal and they're powerful, and the government protects them. Don't forget that. They need a government to protect the lefty liberals so we can continue to do what he did and suppress the rights. So the righties, so what I'm saying is, if you were just to read your local newspapers, you wouldn't hear nothing about it because even our paper wouldn't print it. But if you were to look at what you're reading on TV or your liberal area, oh, the Holocaust it happened. It's a dogma. Poor Jews. If you look at the major media and even the secondary media instruments, unless you go onto the internet, individual people on the internet are exposing it. So you would think, this is what I'm thinking, most people believe in the Holocaust and they're brainwashed by it, but it's not true. There's a silent majority out there that's suppressed by the extreme violent lefty liberals. I call you Nazis, anti-Semites, fascists, and all this stuff, and the government backs them up. Look at all the stuff that was happening under the Biden-Obama thing when they were burning down stores and rioting and looting. Nobody did anything, glorifying these black gangster criminals. So these are the people, the same thing happened in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. It was only 10 to 15% of the people that took over Russia, and they weren't even Russians, they were Jews, instigating people, your Antifa, your extreme lefty liberals, that's what communism, Bolshevism all about. And because they're so vocal, and not just because they're so vocal, but because the power, the money power of the Jew, financial money power, centered in the United States, was backing them. So they also had that moral backing, the financial backing. 70% of the people that passed by approved of it. But the lefty liberals that came out, they were a wild mouth. We had one guy on there, you'll see in the clip. One guy came out, he wrote a sign, and he had this big horn he was blowing, like a truck horn. And he said, here's what the sign said. Spread love and not hate. F off, Nazi pigs. So he's calling us Nazi pigs. Love and hate, and he says, F off Nazi pigs. So and every we went at it with him. You'll see on the tape. And another thing about these lefties, they're filthy. They are filthy. Their language is filthy. Sexual innuendos, they're perverts. These are the Antifa Bolshevik people that Hitler was fighting against in Germany, that were in Russia. They're Slavs, and they're violent. And they're violent. And these are the people that, and they're filthy and they're disgusting. So my point is, we got this guy coming out here making a big stink, right? Calling us Nazi pigs. We went at it with him. We had a couple other people, calling us, that old lady, they drove away in the car. She said, effing Nazis or something like that. So the Nazi thing was flying like crazy. So there goes the Nazi thing, right? I think Brother Bruno says, you don't even know a Nazi if you beat you on the ass. But they're crazy. They're vocally, they're crazy. They're the first ones to get violent, by the way, really. A person that's a real, like I'm talking a real, normal conservative, a real conservative on the righty side, they don't like to start violence. But if you pick on them, they're going to fight back. The lefties are like radical. They're really bad. This is what, now you, it's really a war, though. You understand? And so then you got to fight back. If they're going to fight back and take over the public square and not let you in, then you got to fight them. But if we fight them, the government goes against us. But things might be changing a little bit. What I'm going to tell you about all of this, though, not only do we have a couple of these freaks show up on the trail and try to give us a little bit of a hard time, which who cares? You still got to listen to us. The aftermath of this thing, they went nuts. The lefty liberals in town went crazy. It's the biggest explosion response that anything ever had. It was this Holocaust protest. They're calling us Nazis. They're saying that you're allowed to hate Nazis. We got to kill the Nazis. We got to get these guys out of town. We got to, what was the word they used? We got to move them out of town? We got to run them out of town. We're going to protest on. We're going to make sure they can't sell fruit. Oh, here they are, leveling all these vines. And one guy's saying, "Wait a second." Some people are saying, "Hey, wait a second. It's a peaceful protest. They're allowed to say what they want to say." Are you telling me they don't got their freedom of speech? So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So, but basically, the libtards went nuts. They went crazy. These, and most of them are homos and LGBT, which is really weird. When we protest the homo parade, they went nuts too. They did, but nothing compared to this. I mean. Okay, I would think the homos more concerned, but they would bring that up too. These are the same people that condemn us as homos, and they condemn us, it went crazy. Everyone knows, here's the arguments we were getting. Everybody knows the Holocaust is true, it's in history. That's false history, you were lied to. That's not true history. And when one guy, Brother Alex had a good, all of us had certain little few conversations, but I said to this guy, we were talking to him for a while, they use your judge, not judge, but I told them how you could judge, and God kills people, and you agree, yeah, God kills people. Okay, I agree, God does have people kill, his chosen people kill people. I said, he's saying, I'm a historian. I said, you're a historian? Good. Let's find out if you're a good historian. Go to our website and look at the evidence on the Holocaust and take a look at that history. And if you don't agree with the email, I'll correspond with you. We'll talk. I ain't going there. I don't need to go there. I know my history. That's bullshit. You guys are idiots. You're stupid. That's the dumbest thing in the world. You know, I believe in free speech, but not that. You can't say that because that's misinformation. Well, anybody who disagrees with one another, it's misinformation on one side or the other. So I'm telling this guy, he didn't want. Finally, Alex gave him a card. He took a card at least. But go to the site and look at it if you're an historian. And show me where it's wrong. You've been lied to, I said. All men are liars, our Lord said.
I'm quoting from Psalm 61:10, the sons of men are liars in the balances that by vanity they may together deceive. And from Romans chapter 3, verse 4, God is true and every man is a liar. And from Psalm 11:2, save me, O Lord, for there's now no saint. Truths are decayed from among the children of men.
And even Ryan was telling this guy, he's calling us Nazi pigs, and they even agreed there's a lot of lies. So why do you want to hang on to this Holocaust thing? But my point is, Brother Will's not hitting him back with all the quotes, and he's hitting him with the links on the briefs. So it's going to hit some people. This is how you convert people. You're going to make a big stink because you're turning away from their brainwashing. They've been brainwashed with this all these years, and this is the way you can break that spell. Not just first by God's grace and our prayers, then by what we're doing right now. And you're going to get, some people are trying to go over to go, oh, yeah, I see the part about the tattoos, but I knew what you had tattoos. Oh, I took care of this one old Jewish lady, and every time she takes a shower, she almost has a heart attack because she reminds her of the gas chambers when she takes a shower. You know? I mean, you get all this stuff. And you always just thought, I had somebody that was over there and they seen it. Are you calling my uncle or grandfather a liar? Yeah, I'm calling him a liar. I'm calling them a liar. All men are liars. Look what's going on in Gaza and what they're lying about in Gaza, about 9/11, about evolution, about heliocentrism. And now your average kid might not know it until he grows up and starts realizing you've been lied to. But if it can just get some of these people to go over there to refute us, it can convert them. So this was a giant event that took place, major blow up, more than anything we ever protested, which goes to show you this is the bullseye, this is the bingo. I think even David Irving said, one of the things I have posted up there, and he was, one of these English Freemason was saying this, he says, you better back off on the gas chamber thing, it's not holding up too good. He said, if you stay with the gas chamber thing, and they expose that it's a lie, because it's easy to expose it, the whole thing crumbles. because their big thing is about the gas chambers. Yeah. And you got this guy saying this to the Jews. Back off on the gas chamber thing, because they're going to know it's not true. And when they find out it's not true, like stumbling blocks, you're going to break down the whole Holocaust thing.
We go to a clip from David Irvin in which he produces evidence that the psychological warfare department in Britain, its executive, is the one who started to spread the lie about the gas chambers.
By doing the work in the British archives that the other historians have not done, Paul Norris has turned up the evidence that our own psychological warfare executive were behind the entire gas chamber story. And once again, we're quoting from the archives. They're in the British archives, how the psychological warfare executive decides quite cold-bloodedly and cynically to start putting out over the radio waves the allegation that the Germans have built special gas chambers for gassing the Jews and getting rid of them. And later on in the files, around about 1944, you find the chairman of the Joint Intelligence Committee, who is responsible for the psychological warfare executive, writing a handwritten minute. His name is Victor Cavendish Bentinck, an eminent banker, an industrialist, still alive in England now, Lord Portland as he is now, chairman of the Joint Intelligence Committee, writing and handwriting in 1944, words to the following effect. We've had a good run for our money with this gas chamber lie, but really we've got to be a bit careful because eventually it's going to be exposed and then our entire psychological warfare effort will be brought down with it. So isn't it good time now to distance ourselves from this particular story? We've set the hair running, now we ought to let it go off by itself. A good run for their money in 1944, and here we are in 1988, and that hair is still running 44 years later.
That people, so God is breaking this spell they have over the whole world, by our prayers, by His grace, and by our works on the website, and because the time is right, because He's allowing people to look what's going on over here in Israel now, what they're doing to the Palestinians, and how they're lying about it. How they're starving people. They talk about starving during the Holocaust. They're starving Palestinians, and Netanyahu says nobody's starving. That's like telling you, that's such a bold lie. That's like telling you 2 + 2 = 5. You got 4 fingers up, and he wants you to say 5. Okay, mister, it's 5. It's 5. That's how bold they are when they lie. They talk about the planes knocking down 9/11. Well, it's clearly that no plane knocked it. The demos did it, and Building 7, no plane even hit it. These are the kind of people that are under a spell. And God is allowing this. It's the operation of our curse to believe lying because you didn't believe the truth. That's in 2 Thessalonians 9:10-11. The Antichrist comes according to the working of Satan, all lying signs and wonders, and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Therefore God shall send in the operation of earth to believe lying, because they consented to iniquity and they did not love the truth. He's telling you that these people are swallowing down bold faith. A lot of people know it's lies too, but they're afraid to lose their jobs. And I just have to say one thing. It's true that if you go against the apostate Jews and his plots and plans like we do, you are going to be attacked. You're going to lose your job in major corporations and major colleges and universities. Your family members are going to go against you. You're going to lose a lot. It's going to happen because the Jew controls the world. The Antichrist is almost in full power. He's around right now, ready to come to full visible power. He's been in power for a long time. Since the end of World War II, he's been coming progressively stronger to power. People are afraid. That's why they don't say nothing. They're chicken shits. They're cowards. Chicky, chicky, chick. That's what they are. Chick, chick. No, I tell you, the street kids I grew up with, they're not chickens. They may have problems, but nothing like this. Because maybe they don't have a lot to lose, because they don't have a lot. The people have a lot, they're scared. They're cowards. They're liars, and they don't really care about the truth at all. And they put the apostate Jew on the top of the pedestal. Why is it always him? Why is it always the Holocaust? Why is it always what happened to him? And worst of all, they're telling him, they're turning him into God's chosen people. These are Jews that deny Jesus Christ. They don't believe he's the Messiah. The scriptures are loaded with verses that say these Jews are sons of the devils. These Jews are antichrist. These Jews are condemned. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26. I go on and on and on and on. And you got these Christian Zionists calling God's chosen people under a covenant and they're blessed. And you got this knucklehead rabbis coming out there and they're like lording and know everybody. Like these are the big holy men. And they're full of crap. They're warlocks. They're warlocks. They're devils. So this particular Holocaust protest, what is and this is so great, because I'm gonna tell you, Yeah, and this, because the time is right for it. When we got to 70% approval beeps, that told me they're not even afraid anymore. This is good. So here's my advice. I'm going to end this lecture for other people. You don't have to be a Catholic. I don't care. Just goodwill. Just agree with us that the Holocaust is a hoax. That's all you got to do. And you can't be a coward, okay? First of all, you got to know that the Holocaust is a hoax, and you can't be a coward. If you're a coward, shut this video off because you're worthless. Do what we did. We don't have a lot of people here, but here's what I told the brothers. And because they're hitting, you got to hear all the stuff they're saying. They're threatening to kill us, to run us out of town, and I'm going to come to, so all this kind of stuff. And I don't care because I got God on my side. There's God, you want to do that? You're setting yourself up for the kill. Just remember, when you mess around with God's true chosen people, you're not messing around with anybody. You know, God will even protect an unbeliever too, who's got courage. Even if you're not a true Catholic and you do what I'm doing, God will protect them too. So what I'm telling you people out there that know the Holocaust is a hoax, you're not cowards. Join with us in this particular, it's big. I paved the road, we paved the road on how to do it. I got my briefs, link them over to my site. You don't have to be Catholic, you don't have to be a Christian even. As long as you believe the Holocaust is a hoax and you're not a coward, here's what I'm telling you. And here's what I want to do when we have time. That ADL bastard that sent the newspaper that letter up in Denver, Colorado, I want to find out the closest place possible I can get to his office and have a protest with our signs. And shove it in Jaime's face. Shove it in his face. Come over. You want to mess with me? Come on. Because, see, this is what scares them. No, people, it's a curse because they're not even... Where does their power come from? The devil. The devil and the fact that most men are under a curse. It's a spiritual thing. But when they see people like us and other people even, you don't have to be a Catholic, resisting them, they begin to see that the power is weakening. The power is weakening. That's how you're going to break it even more. So the closer you can get to an ADL building, shove it in their face. If you live in Newark, New Jersey, Chicago, wherever you live, I don't care, whatever town in the United States, set up your own thing. Set up your signs like we did. We're not violent. We don't threaten violence to nobody. We'll defend ourselves if somebody's going to hit us. But we never threaten violence. But we do talk the truth. And we condemn and we speak out vocally. So set your signs up. Send them to my website, to the conspiracy page, and do what we did. And when more people start doing this, that's how you break that spell. Because that's... Now, a lot of your lefties know this is a genocide, but they love the Holocaust. Your lefties, it's weird. You know, I'm talking to think of guys like Schumer and all. He'll talk of Bernie Sanders. He called it a genocide, but he believes in the Holocaust. So you're not going to get them to do it, unless you get some major conversion with some of them. But so I don't care who you are, in the sense of if you're a Democrat or Republican or what you believe, what religion you are. If you believe the Holocaust is a hoax and you're not a coward, I am now telling you to please go out and do some more of these protests. If I had more people here right now, I would definitely once every couple of months. I would target every ADL place. I'd say, is there another ADL place in El Paso, Texas, Dallas, Arizona, Phoenix? And let's set up protests. Because I see the result it got here. It's big. It's big. Now, we don't have a lot of people here, but if you people are listening want to do it, contact us, and we'll help you. We'll let you know where we got the signs. We'll tell you where we got them, and so you can get the signs made and sent to you. Link them to my site. I did all the heavy lifting on the Holocaust stuff, and I did it from a true Christian perspective, because only Catholics are true Christians, so I really nailed it from every angle. And a lot of them like the sign we had about the Holocaust replaced Christ, the Passion of Christ, because that's what it did do. They're the new Holocaust. They're the new Messiah. They're the redeemers of the world, not Christ. And now they're the chosen people, and you can't talk about them. Okay, here's a clip, a little clip on the protest we had, and you'll see the guy that called us. He said, "F off, Nazi pigs." You're going to see another lady call us a Nazi. The cyber brother Allison's sister Catware, just one little last thing on that. One guy pulled up and he was talking. Brother Alice gave him a mouthful. I mean, he was going on and on. I said, kind of, and I said to Sister Cat, you know, he's blocking our sign because he was right like in front of our sign. I said, who cares? Alex is preaching to him. Afterwards, he was commenting that was him there, and he did it on purpose to block the signs. But who cares? He had to listen to Alex. Alex is talking about Nostra Aetate, about the Holocaust, and so. But he had to listen. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to look at that. You're going to see one woman at the end that did have some goodwill, and she was listening, and she's homeschooling her kids. So here we're going to go to the video.
Yes, welcome, welcome.
Yes,
Ryan, watch
one
out.
And all. Why are you standing right in the middle of the
street? I know, they're going to get you today.
Woo!
Yes, so it begins. Day one.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. You're standing nice and cool in the shade. They can see it fine.
It's fine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what?
Just there you are.
Okay, turn it a little bit or what?
Out a little bit like that.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here it is.
Got a big head shake over there. Yeah. And then she pulled over that white truck over there.
Yeah.
We'll see if she comes back.
Got the, not used to these new street pattern.
After the
sixth
or seventh pass,
he gives a turn. He's going to do a pro holocaust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, could you catch? Oh, Sister Captain, one. Is she over
there? No, they're over there. Oh, him and Alex.
Love is the truth. Love is the truth.
You got me.
Love is the truth, bro. Love is the truth. Oh, educated, any mature.
Yeah, brother.
Educated, immature.
You don't even know your own history, man.
Hell yeah, history. You're right.
You don't? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're
free
showing
speech.
Them, showing them.
Free
all
speech.
Out here. We are all free out here speech. Exercising our rights, aren't we? Isn't that what's going on?
Right to idiocy. Yeah.
Right, that's exactly. That's,
no
you
truth.
Know what?
6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. You gotta go look up your, do your research. You gotta do your research.
Come on. IQ level showing as usual. So mature.
Yes, so mature.
I can carry on a conversation.
Yep, that's why I'm here, to be mature with you guys. Nazi.
Oh, that's even better.
Nazis.
You wouldn't know a Nazi if they struck you. Yeah, that's it.
Folks standing there on the side of the road spreading lies, pretending
you
like
don't know what a lie is, buddy. You've been spreading all your life. You don't even know.
You fuck right up with all that, big dog.
Do you know about the real history? You know what the real history
yeah,
is?
Man,
what you've been told in school is a lie. They've been lying to you your whole life.
What do you know that I don't?
What? Okay. Explain to me. There's 6 million Jews. 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. The gas chambers are a lie.
No.
They're a lie.
Bullshit.
You do your research.
50, 60.
Do your research.
No. You know what? That's why they made these museums, is because whenever they found all this shit, they said that people were going to come out and try and deny it. And that's exactly what you guys are doing.
Wrong. Prove it. How can you prove it?
I don't have to prove it. You just prove it.
It's,
what are y'all proving? How are y'all going to tell me?
Have you seen it? Have
people,
you done your research about it? You haven't done your own research. You just trust what they say in the news and in the school, and that's all you do.
A conversation starts with genuine points. and saying that you didn't go to, you don't know your history and this and that is not a genuine point. Well, and it's all fake. That's
And don't use the F word, okay?
I got a foul mouth for foul people.
Yeah, you're foul and don't use the F word, okay? That's a dirty word. Yeah.
You're a dirty person.
You're dirty.
You're dirty.
Dirty boys.
Dirty
the people that come by here.
Dirty boys.
There we go, I got some.
These guys.
Woo!
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 And our Lord said, all men are liars.
Yeah.
I says, look at the evidence. I'm a historian. You're a historian. Okay, look at my evidence and refute me.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at your evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, then you're not a true historian.
Exactly.
I said, if you're a true historian, you look at you want. I don't need to look at your evidence.
Yeah.
Jesus came to bring peace and love. And I told him about the kill verses.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so he goes, yeah, I know. He whipped people out of the temple. I says, well, God shows that people kill people, don't
they?
Exactly. I said, what's going on in Gaza? He don't want to directly... Well, there's evil all over the place. No, what's going on in Gaza? Are they starving the people or not? Is that true? There's evil all over the place. How come you're not calling them out?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
He was calm, but he was making your stupid love, peace,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And he had a relative that was over there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they loved that one.
I said, our Lord said, all men are liars.
Yep.
I said, if you believe your history is true, look at what we're saying and refute us. No. Email me and I'll respond to you.
Exactly.
He wouldn't do it. But yeah, he took a card, though.
He did?
He wasn't going to know.
Yeah.
He was like, Alex, he gave it to him. He was on it. I said, just remember, I said, when everything hits, I said, here's the whole world. So I said, yeah, the whole world is evil.
Yeah, right.
I said, you believe it's God versus Satan? Yeah. I said, well, we're with God. The rest of the world's with Satan.
Yeah.
Remember what I told you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I said, remember what I told you.
That's good.
He was listening.
Yeah.
They always got somebody.
I know they do.
I know my relatives.
I know exactly. Yeah.
All this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same. This guy's a cool guy.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Don't even argue.
Yeah. I wanted some action on the camera.
Huh?
I wanted some action on the camera.
Did you get it on the camera?
Oh, yeah.
When he was shooting his... Yeah. He keeps honking that thing.
I know, exactly.
He got arrested.
Yeah.
For disturbing the peace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who's he got there? F the Nazis?
Yeah, he had it upside down, and then he didn't know he had it upside down. Then Mary Lou said, "Oh, you got it upside down." Oh, thanks. Wait for like first 10 minutes. He had the upside.
That shows.
Like, we don't say anything.
No.
I'm just trying to not let him know.
It shows you who's upside down.
Exactly.
Totally.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. We're here about love and peace and the truth. We're searching for the truth. Go ahead, check out our website.
Yeah. They get angry. Be nice to him. Maybe he'll give us a little credit.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah. You could have probably put it on the Tarrant County Square.
Oh, yeah. That's
good.
That's
I know, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, maybe asking Francis to come on and cover it.
Oh, yes, you should. I thought you meant like the Sentinel. What's that called?
It's a Tarrant County Square.
Yeah, where's your newspaper guy?
Jim Smiley. Yeah.
You know, she never covers us.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
She covers all the things.
I was thinking, I think you'd have to give her a heads up. Like, if we did it again, I could send her an email. Hey, we're going to be frozen.
Oh,
if you want to send somebody out there.
Right.
Your husband, huh?
No, that was good. Who was that?
Oh. Or maybe wasn't a husband. Your boyfriend?
Yeah.
just going like this, and he's honking.
There's going to be a fight inside the house.
Yes.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, this is amazing.
I know it is.
I can't not him.
Here. Here.
Oh, you guys.
This is who you follow.
No.
You
follow.
This is who you follow.
You're blocking traffic. Have a nice day. Watch your mouth. It's a public property. We have a right to be here.
No.
Oh, yeah, we have a right to exercise our right. It's a public property. You can't tell us where to go.
They tell you all the time.
Another one?
Yeah.
Guy recording us time, man. How's it going? How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, so we're protesting the Holocaust. The Holocaust did not happen. You've been lied to for what they teach you in schools is not true. 6 million Jews didn't die in the Holocaust.
They have no gas chambers.
Hitler ran out of gas at the end of the war. And they don't tell you all. You see all these typhoid victims because people are starving in Europe, and they try to claim that that was Hitler killed all these and they're all Jews. A lot of those are Germans that you see in those pictures. If you look at the mathematics, it takes about 3 hours to cremate a body in a modern crematoria.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, that doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the numbers don't add up.
It just caught me off guard because I was like, what?
Yeah.
No, but that my daughter asked, she goes, what do they mean it didn't happen? I'm like, no, that's not what it means. I think what they mean is we were taught something completely different than what actually happened. And she's like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
He wanted to emigrate. It was Hitler's policy was emigration, not extermination. So there was a movement called an operation called the Transfer Agreement or the Habara Agreement, where they were going to move Germans to German Jews to Israel, like Jerusalem and stuff like that, or Palestine.
Okay.
So that's he did move them over there. They came and call him the father of Zionism because he allowed so many Jews to move over there. But there was no final solution, no extermination. They want to exterminate them. They have concentration camps because that's your labor during the war. But you're not going to kill your own neighbor, and then you're not going to use all of your coal and gas during the war because you got to fill your tanks and your trucks and all that stuff. Like there'd be like more efficient ways is to just kill them with a knife or shoot them and drop them in a pit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
But I was looking at some, I've seen documentaries and things. I don't do a lot of research, but I've seen things. And
well, if you look at our website, that we have it all in one, like, page.
A lot of videos.
Yeah. Our Holocaust conspiracy page, if you go to our website.
I gave it to you.
Did you give her a card?
Oh, yeah, you got another card?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
here you go. My kids watch it, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that that they don't tell you, and it's really good evidence. What was the guy, David Irving?
Yeah, David Irving. Yeah.
And then he got banned for talking about it. And you don't hear it, you can't get it hardly anywhere.
And right now, I mean, my kids are pretty smart. I was actually, when I pulled up here, on the phone with the nurse at the school saying that I had to get my kids vaccinated for a fourth time.
Oh, no.
No, no.
And I've had them on an exemption for years now.
Right.
Yeah. She's like, well, it doesn't say anything at the State Department. I said, well, it doesn't matter because I'm pulling them out anyway. So I don't need to fill anything out. So,
you're gonna homeschool them all?
Oh yes.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Done.
Oh, that's great.
That's good for you.
Definitely.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I've already had my 16-year-old daughter home for a couple of years now.
Uh huh.
But now my 14 and 12-year-old, they're getting to that point where they just
don't care. Right. Well, that's great. Yeah. You don't get them out of there. That's a cesspool in there. Yeah.
We've got animals. They can take care of the pigs and chickens and stuff, and they don't need. We can teach them far more than they are
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Yeah. That's great.
Well, it's nice meeting you.
Well, yeah. What's your name?
Ryan.
Nice to meet you. And you got our card there, so check out our website. If you have any questions, there's an email on there too.
Definitely.
So
thank you for
Dixie.
Oh, thank you for explaining.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
have
no
a good
problem.
One, Dixie.
Thank you, Dixie. You're local, right? You're in town here?
Yes. I just moved here last November.
Okay. Yeah, we have a fruit stand up by the Chevron there. If you see that silver, that's us. Yeah.
Yeah, we
so if you have any questions, we'll be up there like when we're up there like Thursday, Friday, Saturday and
especially
stuff.
Especially my daughter, I can promise you she's going to have a notebook with questions for you.
Great.
Yeah, we'll be there on the 27th. We'll be back up there. Yeah,
thanks, Dixie.
Take it easy.
Take care. Thanks. Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Okay, that's the end of this lecture. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.